Throughout this morning, we've been having, you know, a bit of a lighthearted chat about how our car hierarchy is structured, including who's in charge of the music. But there is a very serious conversation to be had about how we are positioned in our cars, because the message is coming through right now, and it's strong, that children should be in booster seats as long as possible. To give us a bit of insight into what that means, how we make those assessments, Anthea Rhodes joins us. She's a pediatrician at the Royal Children's Hospital. I can't even say it, but you got to be it. Good morning. Now, even when we were talking about this story, we read it in the paper this morning, our whole team had different versions of what it means to have kids in booster seats. Give us a bit of an overview about what we should be thinking about.
Well, I think I'd start by saying you're not alone if you're confused, and that's what we found in this study, that the vast majority of parents are unaware of what is safest practice and confused when it comes to knowing what's best for their kids in the car. And we're particularly talking about those children who are over seven, who legally in Australia can sit in a car with no restraint. So that means no car seat or booster seat. They can just sit on the seat with an adult seatbelt legally. But what we know from a lot of research now is that that's not safest practice. So if children are under 145 centimetres tall, which on average is close to 11 years of age, then that child doesn't have the seatbelt fitting in a safe way, and they need to be in something that elevates them, and that's where the booster seat comes in.
And that's the big difference, because we'd always so before I moved across to Victoria, I was told anecdotally that no, it's the weight that's important. Then as I heard, it's the height, it's the age that's important, but actually it is the height. And even Vic Rhodes has that same ruling as well, right?
Absolutely, it's the height. But there's confusion, I think, because the law speaks about age. And we did find in our study that parents are very good at following the law. So, you know, in those kids under seven, they're all in car restraints. But once you get over that age group and we're really talking about height, that's not something that parents are clear about. And it's also confusing for them because they don't always know how tall their child is. Like, I've got three young kids myself, and most parents in the study told us they don't necessarily know how tall their child is. So we're really encouraging them to actually measure up a mark on the wall at home, you know, inside the pantry door or something, at 145 centimetres. And until your child reaches that height, they need to be in a booster seat.
Now, also, the information around this is really important, because as you say, it's about height and it's about where the belts fit, because actually what the issue is really around how internal organs can be hurt in the incident of a crash. Is that right?
That's right. So in the event that a child who is too short, so too small, sits in an adult seat belt without a booster, when the crash happens and those forces come into play in the vehicle, the seatbelt itself contributes to the injury if it's not sitting in the right place. So the main, one of the biggest areas of concern is with the neck. So if a child is too short for the seatbelt, it comes to lie, the sash part lies directly across the neck rather than across the shoulder. And if parents have a look at how that fits on their child when they're sitting in the car, they'll see what I mean. That means that if it's across the neck when they're in an injury, in an accident, we see injuries to the spinal cord, injuries to the blood vessels in the neck and the airway, and in some instances, you know, that can be fatal for children. And then the lap part of the belt, similarly, in a little child, it sits up high across the tummy and it can injure those internal organs. In an adult and a child above 145 centimetres, it'll sit low across the hips where it's designed to protect them.
And it's not just children over seven and they're move out of the car seat and into the front seat. It's also toddlers and children probably under the age of one and two who they're supposed to have the backwards facing booster seat or the car seat, really.
Yes.
And they're being rotated into the front-facing one too early as well.
Yeah, and it seems, I think, you know, sometimes in parenting you're really eager to meet milestones and move forward with things, and things like getting rid of the car seat or turning the child to face forward are things that we look forward to and feel like you're ticking off the box. But this study tells us that parents perhaps sometimes, because they're unaware, are rushing those things a bit much and it's not the safest choice. So for a young child, they have a very heavy head compared to the size of their body. And if they're in a crash facing forward, that head can be thrown forward and really injure their neck very badly. If they're facing backwards, they're much more supported in the event of a crash. So that's why the recommendation is that children should stay backward or rearward facing in a restraint as long as possible, ideally up to 2 years of age.
The other thing that we were having a bit of a debate and a conversation around this morning was, is height enough? So I've got one of those cars that actually has a seat that's inbuilt into the back seats that you can raise up.
Yep.
Is that good enough, or do we need anchored booster seats, you know, those little ones that we used to use as well? Are they good enough?
All good questions. So the inbuilt booster that you're talking about depends on your exact vehicle, but how you can decide whether that's safe enough for your child is something that we call the five-step test. So where a child sits appropriately in a seat at the right height, with the adult seat belt, the belt will fit properly. So there are five things parents can look out for. The first is that they need to have their back firmly against the back of the seat. The next thing is that their knees bend appropriately over the front of the seat. So, and ideally the feet, you know, come to rest on the floor where possible, but that those knees bend across the front of the seat. And then that the seat belt itself fits in the right place. So the sash is across the shoulder and the lap is across the hips. And they need to be able to stay that way for the whole of the journey.
This has been such good information, because it's one of those things that we've heard about, we talk about, we know, but as the child gets older, you're less likely mm-hmm. to be getting in and getting that information. Such a good reminder. If people want to find out more, where could they go?
Yeah, so please jump online, have a look at our website, rchpoll.org.au. We've got a link there for parents with all this information so they can take a look, and even a downloadable height measure at 145 centimetres. Stick it on your wall and measure your kid.
Thank you. Royal Children's Hospital just doing it again for us. Thank you so much, Anthea Rhodes, who's a paediatrician there. We appreciate that very much this morning.